70s. And this is a beautiful, this is one of the reasons I moved out here, because this is, I escaped the St. Louis area from all the commercialism and all the control and all the traffic, all the congestion and all the noise and the crime. Nobody's mentioned crime, and nobody's mentioned that this could possibly devalue our homes. This was also, like Mr. Earhart said, this was the first I'd ever heard of this was a week ago when I got a letter from the county saying that, hey, this is the final vote tonight. Well, where was the first vote? Where was the first meeting? I don't know. I don't understand how that works. But I originally bought this tract of land and was going to go in with a developer to build three home sites. I was going to we were going to divide it into, I think it has to be 2 acre tracts now per county for each septic. I was going to have, there could be three homes built here in a continued residential area. But now, who's going to want to buy a home down in here when you've got to drive through a commercial zone with tree houses, cabins, and bungalows? I wouldn't want to do that. I'm concerned about, there's no buffer between that property and my land. Who's going to prevent trespass? Who's going to prevent trashing it? Because there's nothing that says that this is my land, this is his land. There's no separation. Now, when he's come in here and he's strategically purchased properties all around here, he actually was interested in buying this tract of land. Currently, it is listed for sale. He was interested in buying this land, but he didn't want to pay the price for it. He wanted to give me a nickel for every dollar that it's worth. And then to turn around and put, I don't know, $500,000 into a commercial project in the middle of our peaceful, secluded, comfortable neighborhood.
Safe.
It's a slap in the face to me. I mean, if he would have offered me a price that, I mean, I owed more, I still owe more on the property than what he was going to offer me. $1,000 an acre or something like that, I think, is what he offered. I just think I'm at 4 minutes. I think the concerns here are not just necessarily our peace, but this was sneaky. This came out of nowhere. And like Mr. Earhart said, he's been planning this for a long time. This didn't happen overnight. There is, and one of the other residents, and I agree with him, there is nothing commercial about this area except for his proposal here. I'm just totally disagree with it. Or I could ride off of his coattail. I could build cabins in here. And then we'd have more cabins. And then I could compete with him for price. I could undercut him on rentals. But that's a game that I don't want to get into right now, but it's a possibility. I think I'm going to raise the price of my land, at least now, for a while, if this goes through. I'm not going to do it right now until, if this is approved, though, the price of my land is going to triple, I think, because if it's used for commercial, right now it's residential, and I think that it should stay residential. And those are my closing words.
All right.
Thank you for listening to me.
You're welcome. Thank you. I think we have one individual left at the back of the, are you it?
Name's Kenneth Coleman, live at 1131 Hampton. And I'm gonna just try to cover a few points that the others didn't cover. I won't repeat some of the same stuff that's been said. I'd like to cover the traffic situation a little more. If anybody is familiar with Hampton Road. That's it right there. And I'm also owner to the rest of that in the blue outline with my mother. We've been on this property since 1988. Hampton Road was a gravel road, a one-lane wagon road with gravel on it when my parents built that house that I live in. And we've seen a nice residential neighborhood grow up there. But Hampton Road at that time handled the traffic very well. It handles it okay now. But Hampton Road is a one-lane road that ended up being chipped and sealed. But it's still basically that same lane. I took trouble to take some pictures. I don't have them in a nice thing like that. If anybody's interested in seeing what Hampton Road actually looks like, I know some of you may not have ever been down Hampton Road, but you're looking down a road that's basically one lane. I went out today. I measured the roadway. The county minimums for a subdivision, even going into a cul-de-sac that has six houses, is a 24-foot pavement. The widest point of Hampton Road from Bristol Road down to the end of it is 18 feet. There are places between their driveway at Ruby's Rest and Bristol Road where the pavement is only 16 feet wide. You take a UPS truck and a FedEx truck, they're both over 8 feet wide. That doesn't leave any room. I have pictures here where people are having to drive in the ditch. You can see the tracks where two cars meet. Somebody has to go in the ditch. We've got school buses making two trips a day out there. That's a real good. There's blind curves that a school bus has to swing wide on. The residents out there, we adjust to it. You know, we know, okay, look out, you're going to get run over. We start putting nightly rentals in there. I've been run off the road twice by people from the bed and breakfast. But that basically a traffic study has got to be done on that road before you put that much more traffic down there. This is a retired civil engineer talking, you know. All right. The school bus, they covered the school bus well, the mailbox well. On the property value impact, one of the fears that everybody has is the future commercial development piggybacking onto this. We've already kind of got that, as they say, oh, it's a bed and breakfast, now we're going to add on to it. Well, the bed and breakfast was put in on a special use permit. But under the development guidelines, it states that property where a special use permit is granted shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for any future land use applications. So they can't use the bed and breakfast as a piggyback that is compatible. There's nothing compatible about it. The outlook of this business adventure, it's likelihood it's going to fail. My family's been in the lodging industry in Branson for over 30 years. And we've had motels, we had campgrounds, we had RV parks, all of those. And I know that, you know, the great need for additional nightly rentals. There hadn't been a new motel built in Branson in over 10 years, and there's been 20 or 30 torn down or blown away. And I hadn't seen it yet, where you see no vacancy signs up and down the strip. Like I said, I lived in a motel for 10 years running it. I know the lodging industry. It's not there. The end result will end up just like the motels did. They take weekly rentals and all that. One really troubling thing that I have here, in their proposal, they state that the cabins will be constructed on small deeded parcels, basically a hair larger than the footprint of the building. And the rest of the land be held by a homeowners association and management company. Why do you need that on a nightly rental? That sounds more like a timeshare or a park model subdivision. That's the only thing needs individual deeds to a thing, to a deal like that. And if each person who gets deeded that, if he's going to put his into a management company for nightly rentals, then each one of those people needs to come before you and apply for an application for nightly rentals. Not as a group thing, because the people who are applying for the application have stated they're going to sell the deeds off and they're not going to be the owners. But it's just one of my areas of concern. Other thing, just basically, according to your guidelines, over the last few days, I've learned them pretty good. But y'all's responsibility is to consider the general compatibility with adjacent properties, other properties in the district, the general safety, health, comfort, and general welfare of the community. There's nothing about this project that will increase any of these things I've said for the residents of this area. I'm done.
Thank you. I think I've...
I'll let y'all have a picture.
All right. Thank you. Just making sure everybody's gotten to speak, right? Let's let her wipe it down, and then you can get up.
Is it all right for me to talk now? I'd really like my dad to have the last word. He knows this business and this world much better than I do. I'm a digital marketer and an entrepreneur. I started a business similar to this in Hawaii, and you know our business got destroyed by the volcano. My wife and my four daughters, we relocated thereafter, and we tried to figure out a good place to where we could do a business like this. And our research led us to Branson. It's a place that has already the vacation style business that's very familiar. And what I'm seeing, according to my research, is that people are wanting this kind of accommodation, especially with COVID-19 and, you know, the people being more aware of some of the sicknesses that can happen. In fact, COVID is probably going to affect Branson for a long time. I think many people are going to prefer to stay in this kind of an accommodation instead of sharing a wall at a motel or a hotel. And so it may very well be that we're going to see more motels and hotels going out of business. And, you know, there have been some comments about the Bells, and we are not the Bells. You know, I'm Chris Dortch, and this is my father, Mike Dortch. We had no dealings with the Bells. And I understand that some of you are frustrated with some of what they did, but we had nothing to do with that.
We're not all frustrated.
Ma'am, we need to, you had your time to speak, okay?
I think, you know.
And sir, if you can just speak to the commission directly.
I think some of the concerns also have been about noise, and some of the noise is from my own kids. You know, I have four daughters, and they're quite loud. And when we have a lot of guests there, well, they act different. And the last few months, we haven't had a lot of guests there, so they have been quite loud. But anyway, I don't have a whole lot of other comments, but I did want to just explain what it is that we're trying to build. It's not a trailer park. We're trying to build a luxury accommodation. And in the last year, we did really well. You know, perhaps it was from some of my digital marketing skills, or perhaps it was from the great work that my wife does to all of the details that she puts into the rooms. But